All right. No, every pediatrician. All right. So we're on DAP.
We're on DAP
I and Bays. So we're in the middle of the difficult sugya. So in the middle of discussing the sugya of Tuma, Tara Blua, Tuma Blua. So basically we said Tuma Blua was that if there's Tame that's completely encased, like in this case in the mother, the Tame, it doesn't give off the Tuma. And we said the same thing that when it comes to Tahara, if the Tahara is complete, if something that's Tahara is completely encased, and then the person walked into an OL, then the item inside maintains its status of being Tahara. That's
shielded.
It's right. There's a shield. There's a shield. So the problem was is that that was basically what Rabba taught us. And then we asked, well, what was Rabba's Chiddush? Right, Rabba said, Rabba, what was Rabba's Chiddush? We learned these from Mishnayos. We had clear cases in Mishnayos that basically taught us the same idea of Tuma Blua and Tahara Blua. So Rabba answered, the case was Shtei Tabos. It was two rings. So it's not talking about affecting or impacting something that's affecting or being affected by something outside of, in this case, outside the womb, outside the woman. But it's on the case where two things were swallowed. One was tummy, one was tahor. Do they have an impact against each other? Essentially, you're saying that when something is encased, it's completely sealed off in the concept of tumah, even though they're touching each other inside. So now the Gemara says, okay, you have that idea that shtei tabos, we say, do not impact each other when they're inside. So the Gemara then says, well, ha uba b'chaya. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Well, our Mishnah and Ayin Aleph had the case of where you had the woman was giving birth, she was difficult to giving birth, and the Vlad dies, and the midwife sticks her hand to pull the baby out. So we said that the midwife is Tame. The midwife becomes Tame from the dead Ubar. This is and the woman is Tahora until the Vlad comes out. So the Gemara says, wait a second. As we start on top of Ayin Beis, but uba b'chaya, the kishtei tabos damu become itamile uba l'chaya. The ubar and the chaya are both the chaya's hands, and the ubar are both inside the woman. So it's tuma blua, it's shtei tabos. You have one thing is tame, which is the ubar. One thing is tame, which is tahor, is the woman's hands at the time. And yet, even though the shtei tabos are both inside the woman, the chaya's hands are becoming tame inside. But you just said that when it came to the case of shtei tabos, the connection, it's not necessarily the exact same thing, but assume that they're the same thing. You just said that when shtei tabos, two things are inside, there is no impact from the tamei to the tahor. Right? Rashi says, va uber v'chaya, dekatani masnis, and achaya tamei yashiva, v'isha tahora, v'kav mitamile uber l'chaya, shma mina, detama de'isha tahora, mishum maga beis astarim hu, v'lo mishum balua. You have to say in that case, Rashi is saying, is that if it's not a case of tuma blua, because tuma blua does make you tame, because it's shtei tabos. The reason why the woman's not wouldn't be tahor in that case is because of this other idea of tumas beis hastarim, when you can't see the connection between the two. Like for example, you know, when you don't normally touch something, you know, your hand touches it. But in the case of medrash or some other type of situation where the tuma goes, where the tuma is being passed on, but you can't see where the two items are touching. It's not tuma blua. It's called tumas beis hastarim. Tuma beis hastarim can happen even if it's not totally encased, as we'll see later. So the Gemara is saying, why, if you say shtei tabos as a concept of tuma blua, then why is the chaya's hands, why is the midwife's hands becoming tamei? So Amar Rabba says, shani ubar, the case of the ubar in our Mishnah is different, hoil v'sofo latseis. Because the end game is for it to come out from its mother, so therefore anything that is supposed to or its end game is going to come out is not considered balua. That's why it could be matame the midwife, but a ring apparently I guess would stay inside. But the Gemara says Amar Rava Uber Sofa Letzeis Tabas Ain Sofa Letzeis. You always tell a kid they swallow a penny, it's going eventually going to come out. Right, the idea is that it's gonna come out. So why are you telling me the whole thing is the idea is that it's tuma blua doesn't apply, but something's gonna come out. The tabas is eventually gonna come out. You're gonna excrete the tabas also. I'm assuming usually, otherwise you got problems. But it's gonna come out, right? Rashi says bitmia. So the Gemara says nope. All right, Amar Rava. Rava says pumpedisoi yodi taimad al milsa. I got a good answer from the people of Pumpedisa. They knew the answer. Umanu, and who was this Chacham who knew the answer? It was Rabbi Yosef. the Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Tuma Zo. This tumah that's mentioned in the Mishnah about the midwife coming tamei for touching, you know, the dead fetus inside, ain't a midirei Torah. It's not a din d'oraisa. So really, it is tumah b'lua. It's tumah b'lua, and therefore it's not tamei. But we midirei midrabanan, we make her tamei. Right, ainu midivrei Torah, eli midivrei sofrim. It's only midivrei sofrim. It's the rabbanon. So the Gemara asks,
so
"What
tumas meis that we're saying is?"
I don't think so. It's not really a mace, but whatever the tumah, you can't. I don't think there is any tumah rabbanon of a mace.
No, that's why I don't understand.
We're making the tumah rabbanon.
What tumah is it?
Midivrei rabbanon. We're saying she's tamei.
Oh.
No, we say ainu midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. So the Gemara says, what is this language of my ainu midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim? It's a very long winded language. Just say it's tumah d'rabbanan. Why do you have to go through this whole thing? So he said, right, Rashi says, lama le lemeima kulei hai, lema tumah zo divrei sofrim, mishum gzeira, like the first, like we're going to say make gzeira. So he says, no, the reason why we go through this whole long language is delotema, that the Mishnah is going aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Don't say that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Umar b'mei Isha Tamei, who says the Umar in the womb is Tamei. What is that? Rashi says, Lo Tema, don't say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Umar b'mei Isha Tamei. He says a dead fetus inside is Tamei and creates Tuma because he doesn't hold the concept of Tumas, Tuma Blua. Hilkach b'tama l'chaya the tuma b'lua, and therefore it would be mitame the chaya, the midwife, because of tuma b'lua. But it hasn't. But the Mishnah says that the woman is tahora. The woman is tahora because of this concept of maga beis hastarim. It's being touched in a way that you can't see. So the I don't know, you can't really see the midwife touching it either. But it's, I guess, I don't know. So he says, Ella, I'd say that our Mishnah goes a fil Rabbi Shmuel. Our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Uber Meisha Tahor, it says, Midoraisa, the Uber inside is Tahora, because it's Palua, but Gazu Batuma Midorabanan, they just make a Gzeir de Rabbanan. I don't know why that hasn't answered the question, but basically, that we just established is a Machlokas, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold the concept of Tuma Balua, and Rabbi Shmuel does hold the concept of Tuma Balua. Rabbi Akiva, our Mishnah that says that the Mialedes is Temeya, even though she's sticking her hands inside, don't say it's only going according to Rabbi Akiva. It's also going according to Rabbi Yishmael, but the reason why she's Temeya is because of a din derabana. Okay, what's my timer? What's the din derabana? What's the gzera? Why they make the gzera on the midwife? Right? She's not touching anything that could be metana her. It's Tuma Balua. The Gemara says, Amar Moshia, gzera shema yotzi valad rosho chutz leprozdor. The possibility exists that the Vlad, the Ubar, maybe during this process stuck its head out, and then I guess retracted, stuck its head out. Right? She says, "Gzeir Shem Yotzi, the I Amart Chaya Shepashta Yad LeMeisha VeNagav Ubar Meis Tahora." If you see that she's Tahora when she sticks her hands in, Pa'amim. Sometimes Shavlad Motzi Rosha Chutz LeProzor. Sometimes the Vlad is going to put their head out of the birthing canal. It's not the name of a school. It's actually the physical part, right? Chutz leprozdor v'hare, right? V'hare hu kiyalud, and it's as if it's born. Right? It's born umetama, and it's going to be metame. V'kasvura chaya, but the midwife doesn't realize shadayin hu v'kasvura chaya. The midwife thinks shadayin hu b'me'av aslutara. She thinks that the head did not come out, and therefore, beforehand, she's tahora. Aval beroe shahoshi yado lemeyabe. So what's the difference when it comes to a roe? The roe who we said over there that he's tahor. Why don't we have the tumah blue there? He said by roe who puts his hands by the mebehema the ketan masis and tahor lekele migzer hachi. You can't say you don't have no problem. They sherechem shelo galoy the chimap bechazile. We say that the womb of the birthing canal of the woman is blocked by the thighs. As opposed to the animal, there's nothing that blocks it. It just comes down. So you could have a mistake when it comes to women. They're not concerned. You probably could have a mistake. And also, we're not concerned enough about the mistake to make the gzera. So the Gemara says, okay, if we're concerned that the Vlad sticks his head out, ihachi, ishanami, yes, let's also say that the woman herself make a gzera, should be tameya, right? Because of chash, that she didn't, at that moment in time, the nafkamina would be, the woman's going to become tameya eventually. If not now, then in 2 or 3 minutes. But if she touches Taharos during those 2 or 3 minutes, it's Tahora. So why don't we make a Gezeira at that point in time? Because maybe she miscalculated when the baby came out. And therefore, we should be concerned. There's no Isha Margeshus Ba'atzma. The woman can tell. It's her body. She can tell when it comes out. And at that moment in time, she'll know that now she's Tameh, but the 2 or 3 minutes beforehand, she was not. So the Gemara says, okay, V'tem al-Lachaya. So let her tell the midwife at what point in time the baby's head came out. And therefore, from that moment on, that's when everyone's Tameh, but not before. So Gemara says, treat her. She's a little busy at the time. And physically and emotionally, she's busy right now. She's giving birth to a stillborn, essentially. So she's a little, it's treda, and therefore she may know herself, but she won't have the wherewithal, I guess, to tell somebody to somebody else. Okay. So now we just had this machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara is trying to bring the source. Where's this machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, regarding Tuma Belua? Okay. So my Rabbi Shmuel, or my Rabbi Kiva. What is this machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva? The Tanya, we have a braisa that quotes the pasuk by Tumas Hameis. The pasuk says, "V'chol asher yigal pnei hasadeh." To finish the pasuk is "V'chol cherev o b'meis o be'etzem adam o b'kever yitma shivas yamim." So it says the words "al pnei hasadeh," which seems to be what becomes tamei, something that's opened into the field, something that you can tell that's in the field. Lahotzi, that comes to exclude. That comes to exclude the fetus in the mother's womb, because that's not Pnei Asada. That's enclosed. Right? That's Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's the words of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, no, the Pasuk is not coming to exclude the Uber. Rather, the Rabos Golel V'dofik. It's coming to exclude Machlokas, what the goal is. It's like it seems to be the headstone or the cover. Or it's a machlokas Rashi talks what golel is, all of that shas, whether it's a headstone or they used to roll something on top of the kever. So that in the side walls, since they're all pnei asada, it's coming to include them that they are tamei. So where does Rabbi Shmuel learn that those things are tamei? Rabbi Shmuel golel v'dofik hilchsak mirle. Golel v'dofik is halacha Moshe Mesinai. So it's halacha Moshe Mesinai can learn pnei asada for the ubar. Rabbi Kiva doesn't have that halacha Moshe Mesinai, I guess, and therefore he uses a pnei asada for golel v'dofik. I have Rabbi Kiva uber me isha tamei mi deraisa minole. But so where does Rabbi Kiva know that the uber in the woman's womb is going to be tamei mi deraisa? Where does he know it's going to be? I mean, I guess if he doesn't have a lima to say that it's not, but okay. But where does he say that it's tamei deraisa? Amar of Oshia Rosh says the Amakra, the pasuk says kol hanogeya b'meis b'nefesh adam asher yumas is tamei. Whoever touches b'meis b'nefesh, the meis in the nefesh, right? So ezehu meis she bin nefesh al adam. Where do you have something that is dead within the body of a person, meis bin nefesh, he's saying, that's how he's reading it, ze'ubar shem isha, that's stillborn in the womb of the mother. It's meis bin nefesh. Okay, so the Gemara says, what does Rabbi Shmuel do with meis bin nefesh? Rabbi Shmuel, hami boile, what does he do with that pasuk? He learns that pasuk, le revius dam haba min ameis shemitamo. He says that if you have a revius of blood that comes from a dead person, that also has the status of a meis, because it's meis b'nefesh, the Chachamim assume that a revius dam is what a person needs in order to survive. So if you have the revius dam, that's the life forces in revius dam. So meis b'nefesh is talking about the revius dam. Shenemar hanogeya b'meis b'nefesh adam, ezehu nefesh she'al adam she'mitama. What is the nefesh of an adam? Adam hu nefesh. What is the nefesh of an adam that's mitame? Haveyom ezed revius dam. That's a revius dam. Okay. So now, what about you, Rabbi Kiva? What do you do with this? How do you learn Rabbi Saddam? Because you're learning Meis B'Nefesh for the Uber. So Rabbi Kiva says, L'tameh, he says, no, I don't need that, because I have, I guess, a halacha. I know that Af Revius Hadam Haba Mishnei Meisim Metam Ba'Oel. You don't even, if a Revius Hadam combined from two Meisim is going to be Metam Ba'Oel. Kabbalah Homer, that from one Meisim is going to be Metam Ba'Oel. Right? Titanya, because you have a brace that says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Minay Revius Hadam Haba Mishnei Meisim Shemtam Ba'Oel. How do I know that? Shinamar, it's by Kohen Gadol, it says, Ba'al Kol Nafshos Meis Lo Savo. Nafshos is in the plural, Meis is in the singular. Right? So Meis is something that causes death, which is a Revius Dam, I guess. And Lashon Rabim is Nafshos. So I'm not exactly sure what that limud is, but he has a limud from there that to a Revius combined from two Meisim will make you Tame. So he doesn't need the Pasuk of Meis B'Nefesh to teach me that Rabbi Yisrael of one person is going to make you tame. So therefore, it's extra for him, and he can use Meis bin Nefesh to teach me about the Ubar, meaning he doesn't hold of Tumas Blua. But, But Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel do? Rabbi Shmuel basically said that Meis bin Nefesh teaches you that the Meis bin Nefesh talking about Revi is Dam. Okay? So, but what about, why does he have to learn it from there? Why does he learn that from Rabbi Kiva's Pasuk of Kol Nafshos Meis Lo Yavo? So Tosfos points out, because Nafshos in the Torah is written without a Vav. So it could be Nafshas also. So you hold Yesh Eim LeMikra, you go according to how we read it, or Yesh Eim LeMasor, or how it's written. Right? Look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, Shtei Nafshos Shir Echad, Rabbi Shmuel Sabar, the Yesh Eim LeMasoris. You go based on how it's written. The Nafshos Ksiv, it's written without the Vav, so therefore he can't make that Lima. It's only talking about one. But I got my, okay. Nevertheless, Tosfos says, Vekasha, the Trey Krob Revi Adam Lamali. But then Rabbi Shmuel has two psukim about Revi Yisdam. Still the same question. If he has two psukim about Revi Yisdam, just learn them out from that other pasuk, and then Nefesh Bimbeis is open out for the limud that Rabbi Kiva made about the must be that he has a Masorah, that Tumas Belua is Tahorah, so he's not going to make that limud from the pasuk. Okay. That's that. Next.
So it's in fact Kol Nefesh.
I'm not sure I'm following the question, but I'll call Nafshos. They're learning it out from Nafshos Meis, which means two.
But isn't the pasuk say that I'll call Nafshos?
Because I'll call Nafshos Meis Lo Yavo.
So Rabbi Akiva would say the call would just emphasize that you're talking.
I don't think they're talking about the call. I don't think that's where the Libud comes from. Yeah, when it comes to Limudim, I'm not sure, but I think the Libum here, he says Hilchah Hakor Leksiv Pei. He says Nafshos Mashma Shtayim, Rashi says, and then Meis is Davar Shemisa Shabal Yodo. Rashi is not even talking about. It's not even from the Kol. Okay. Next Mishnah. Fine. Behema Hamaksha Leilad. So the Behema is having difficulty giving birth. Hotzi Uber is Yodo. The Uber sticks out, I guess, a leg, one leg. The Chatacha, so the Roe, as he's going on, he chops off the leg. So that leg now cannot be eaten, because it's not, it's got dinner of Avram, I guess. The Acharkach Shacha says Imo. And then it checks the mother. I guess the mother's having a difficult time giving birth. He's afraid he's going to lose everything. So he checks the mother while, I guess, three-quarters of the animal is still three-quarters of the legs, but could be more of the animal, are still inside. Habasar tahor, the meat, the flesh of the ubar, and the flesh of the behema are tahoros, because the ubar and the behema do not a live animal cannot become a kabel tuma while it's alive. There's no tuma for a live animal. So this aver min achai essentially that stuck out, it couldn't create tuma for the, it's considered an Eber Chai right away when it sticks out, because it's not going to become taller with the Shechita of the mother. It could transfer Tuma to the mother or to the Behema, because they were alive. However, Shachar Es Imo, so the Uba sticks its hand out. Then Shachar Es Imo, then you shech the mother. Okay? Be'achar Kacha Tacha. And then you cut the hand that's sticking out. Habasar Maga Nevela. So it ends up being is that the flesh, I guess, of both the Ubar and the mother are Tamei Nevela, because that hand that stuck out is Nevela. Right? Rashi says, Habasar Maga Nevela, Basar HaUbar, you know, it says the Ubar, the flesh of the fetus, Maga Eivir Min Achai, it's touching Eivir Min Achai. That hand that stuck out is considered Eivir Min Achai, Shehu Mitamei Ki Nevela, because it is Mitamei Nevela. It's considered Nevela, more or less. Okay, it's Magen Avela again, right? So it sticks its hands out, and it sticks its hands out. You shech the mother. So at that moment in time that you shechted the mother, the dead animal and the fetus inside are touching or attached to, and they're touching this limb that went out. That limb that went out is considered Eivir Lechai, which has the status of Avela, and therefore these things are Tamei. Divrei Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Okay. Chachamim Omrim, Chachamim say, no, Maga Trefa Shchuta. What you're touching now, it's not going to consider Nevela. It has the din of a Trefa that was Nishchat. The din of a Trefa that was Nishchat is what? You can't eat it, but it's not Nevela. It's not, it's just we have mentioned a few times about what happens if it becomes tamei in between the shchita. The shchita is a shchita accomplishes two things: it gets rid of the nevela status and allows for heter achila. So here, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, no, the shchita of the mother will not accomplish heter achila for the limb that went out because it's outside, but it does accomplish the second part that it doesn't make it into a nevela. So the machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is whether when this limb sticks out, you shech the mother, does the limb get the status of nevela or not? Rav Meir says yes, that's why the uber connected to the limb is tamei, and the Chachamim say it doesn't get the status of nevela, that's why it, you can't eat it, but it's not nevela, and then the uber that's connected to this limb would be tahora. Right, Rashi says, maga trefa shchuta, shashchita, afal pi she'enem ateras ha'ever ba'achila, even if the shchuta doesn't make it, the limb mutter to eat, mitaharso midei nevela. It's matari from nevela. Vahave ketrefa shchuta. It's like a trefa. You have an animal that's walking around, it's a trefa. It's got a puncture in the lung. And you shecht it. It's not gonna, you can't eat it because it's a trefa, but it's not a nevela because it has shchita done to it. She'enu atam in the Torah, in the farsha ozil, ela midorabonim mukdashim. It's a din of midorabonim. But in the rice, it's not going to become mitame. So now the Mishnah goes to a back and forth. It's interesting, Mishnah goes back and forth between the shitos of Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So the Chachamim bring, you see that a lot with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, you see, but here it's between the Chachamim and Rav Meir. So he says, Chachamim explain their shita. Their shita is as follows. Ma matzinu betrefa sheshkitasim et harta. We know for a fact that when it comes to a trefa, if you shecht it, it's not tameh. Can't eat it, but it's not tameh. So af shkitas behema titaris ha'ever. So too the shkita of the behema, of the mother, should be metaher this aver. It should be the same thing. What's the difference? You know, the shchita of the whole animal is metaher. So the Gemara says, Amar lem Rabbi Meir, lo, if tihartu shchitas trefa osa, it's davar shebegufa, titar se aver, davar she'en gufa. He says, well, it's a big difference. When you're shechting the trefa, you're kashering from tumah, you're kashering in itself. Everything that's connected to it. It's part. Everything that's part and parcel of it. Here, you're talking about where the uber stuck out its hand. It's not part of the animal anymore. It's not part of the mother anymore, right? Titar is an aver dover she'eno gufa. It's not from the goof of the mother. It's from the goof of the uber. It's a separate. It's a separate entity. So that's why it shouldn't work, says Rav Meir.
Leg out, it's like it's not part of the body anymore?
Yeah, well, of course.
Even though it brings it back in.
What's doesn't matter, but it's now, you can't, it's not, even if you shut the mother now, it's all good, you can't eat that. So the Gemara says, okay, and so then Gemara said, the assumption that we just made is that if you shut the trefa, it's tahora. So the Mishnah says, well, we nigh the trefa, sheshechita sa, mitara. How do you know that the shechita of the trefa makes it tar? So he says, okay, fine. Behema tumeya asur bachila. Va'av trefa asur bachila. I guess, maybe, in other words, he's saying maybe it shouldn't be. Yeah, a non-kosher animal is asur bachila. Actually, no, it should be. This is limud. A non-kosher animal is asur bachila. A trefa animal is asur bachila. Ma behema tumeya. Right, behema tumeya, if you shecht it, ain't shkita sasa mitharta. The shkita does not. It's considered a nevela right away. Maybe you should say that when you have an animal that is no longer edible, that is not edible, shchita has no zero impact on it. Proof being, you have a non-kosher animal, you shech the pig, it's still nevela, right? The pasuk says, "Tameim heimlach." By nevela livlas behema, it says, "Tameim heimlachem kol nogei behem yitma." We know for a fact if a non-kosher animal shechted, it still has tumah. Because it's not, you can't eat it. So to the trefa, if you can't eat it, it shouldn't have, the shechita should have no impact. So Gemara says, no, don't say that. Im amart behema tameya, the reason why behema tameya, other than the pasuk, the reason why the behema tameya does not become tahara with shechita, shelo haisel shasa kosher. It never has a difference. It never had a period of time of when it would have had a time that you could have eaten it. It's not trefa. It's not kosher from birth. You gotta be careful when you say treif. Treif has a real. We say treif means not kosher. Treif means something. He says it's not kosher from birth. Toma betreifa, you can see it, but a kosher animal that became a treifa, shahaisl shasa kosher, that it didn't, so it did have a shasa kosher. So the fact that it had a shasa kosher allows it, that if you do the shlita on it, it's still, not by saying it's asr b'achila, only takes away, the shlita only takes away the achila part, doesn't take away the fact that it can be metaret. The Gemara says, no. If that's the case, tolach masha evesa, take back what you just said. Why? Hare nolda treifa min abetin minayin. What about the idea of an animal that's born as a treifa? Well, if it's born as a treifa, it never had a shasa kosher. We know that if it's born as a treifa and you shecht it, it's still not going to become. It's still not going to be matame. Why? According to your reasoning, if an animal never has a time when it was mutar b'achila, the shechita should have no impact regarding the tumah v'tahara. So this animal that was born as a treifa should also not be. It should also become tame. It's like a Gemara in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Lo, no, no. Let me rephrase." The difference is, when it comes to a behema tmeya, nothing of its status, never a pig born, not born, a pig never has a shasa kosher. Tomar betreifa, you can say that for betreifa, sheyesh bimino shchita, in its family, this one particular may not be, but the family of behemas tahora do have a shasa kosher. So if you look at the category of behema treifa never has the shot. I'm sorry, the category of behema she'ina, of behema tameya never has a shasa kosher. That's why your shchita will not be mataret. The category of behema that became a treifa does have shasa kosher, and that's why its shchita will make it tahora. Then the Mishnah just says, based on that, ben shmona, again, the Mishnah is under the assumption that I guess anything that has a gestation of 9 months, it's either 9 months or 7 months, an eighth month birth is nothing. Right? So it says, ben shmona, if the animal is born in the eighth month, ben shmona chai, ein shchitasod mitaharto, lefi she'ein b'mino shchita. It says, born at 8 months is not considered an animal, it's not considered bakar or tzon. It's considered this old category of ben shmona, and therefore that category never has a shasa kosher. So if you have a kosher animal that gives birth to an offspring prematurely, I guess in the eighth month, prematurely, that ubar, if it was born treifa, can never, well, that ubar itself is considered a treifa, and can, even if you shecht it, will still give off tumas nevela, because its category never has a shasa kosher. Okay. I don't know. That's what he says. That's what he says. I hear you. He says sheyesh min shchuta aval ben shmona chai shenola mi behema chaya ein lan of mamutara fil nishkal if sheinu bechal bakar mitzon. I'm not sure if it really has a gestation period of 9 months, and they're saying this is the 8 month, or maybe they're just using the 8 month as a
the cattle is 9.
He says it's 9 months.
It's 9 months, and sheep are 5 months.
Actually, quotes that in there. Okay. I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty easy thing we can look up. Gestation period of cattle. We'll figure it out right away. So take out the phone and we'll do it. Okay. So the Mishnah had mentioned this machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. If the Aver that comes out of the mother, and then you shech the mother before you chop off the Aver, if that Aver has the status of Nevela, or if the Aver has the status of not Nevela. But they all agree. That if it did have the status of nevela, right? They all agree that the flesh of the uber inside would be tame, right? So the Gemara asks, "Amai, why would the uber, the rest of the uber, become tame? Tumas base hastarimi. You can't see the connection. Where are they connected? They're connected at a point that's inside the womb.
So
tumas base hastarim. It's hidden. It's.
But the leg came out.
But where is it connected?
So now we're saying it's going according to where it's connected."
Well, no, the leg itself is tame.
Oh, so I'm saying.
But you're saying if it's a nevela, then it's going to be metame the rest of the fetus. Why is it metame the rest of the fetus if where it's touching you can't see?
There's one entity.
No. Nothing to do with one entity. There's a concept called tumas beis hastarim. If you can't see where the tumah is touching the tahara, there should be no tumah. At any point in time where it's connecting, you can't see. Otherwise, it'd be outside. And that would be part of the limb. So it's not, where it's connecting, it's tumas beis hastarim, and therefore it shouldn't be matame. The Mishnah said, right, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, you have this case of the behemoth that's giving birth. Okay? Shachanas imo, and the leg comes out. Right? Then you shech the mother, and then you shech the mother, and then you cut off the limb. So you, right. Since you cut off the, over there, they are saying that it has the uber has a status of tumah.
Right.
Why?
Because you stuck his leg out.
Leg is separate from the uber now. It's the leg is Eiver Minachai, the uber is not Eiver Minachai.
Right.
We're saying that the leg transmits tumah to the rest of the uber.
Right.
Why? Connected, it's not available, it's not seeable.
Right.
It's tumah's based on star. So Gemara says, Lema Rabbi Meir Lutameh. Let's say that Rav Meir is Lushitaso. I guess he's going to hold that Tumas Beis Hastarim sort of is not a problem. Tumas Beis Hastarim doesn't...
There's also a side aspect to it, because it's still connected at the time
right.
To the other body itself, even though it's hidden.
Right, but the Tumas Beis Hastarim says if it's hidden, it's not Matam. That's the rule.
Correct.
When it's partially and outside
now, he's right, utilize the last case with the...
I'm not following. So what?
Utilize the last case where the fetus is inside the body, right?
Yeah.
She goes inside, touches it. You can't see that thing. It's a hidden.
That's blua. That would okay. That's
it's
a different
thing.
Okay.
Why don't you pull it out halfway? We understand that there's half that's hidden.
Right.
Can't see it, but half that's connected.
Right.
That is physically connected to the other one.
Correct.
Right? That is what. That's why everybody seems to be having a problem.
Right. But you don't understand the concept of tumas based on stardom, though.
No. I understand what the problem is. I'm just explaining the issue.
When the entire thing is inside.
No, that's blua. That's tuma blua.
No.
Tuma based on stardom is something else. Tuma based on stardom is where you can't see it touching.
Correct, but it's very similar because...
It is similar, but it's different.
I'm saying that's what the problem with people... That's why it doesn't make much sense. I didn't say I'm agreeing with it.
No.
So why by the two rings that they call this and that?
That's,
why that blue?
So that was a machlok in Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, whether it's blue or Beis Hastarim. There it's blue, it's completely encased. Here it's not necessarily completely encased, you just can't see it. Like if someone touches something, then you can't see where the maga took place. It could be in the outside, it could be anywhere in the world.
Is it dark in me?
Maybe, I don't know. It says, Lema Rabbi Meir Lutameh, Ditznan, Shlosha al Shlosha, Shenechlak, Tar min a medras of a tam magen medras. I have no idea what's going on here. We're in the 27th parak of Maseches Kalim. So, right, it's Kalim parak of Zayin Mishnah Yud. Never got there. Okay, so Mishnah there says, you have a beged that is three, shlosha is male. So we're talking about tvachim. It's three tvachim by three tvachim.
No, not tvachim.
Yes.
Tvachim.
Yes. Yes. Shlosha is male. So it has to be Tvachim. Shalosh is female, so that would be either Etzbaos or Amos. But Shalosha is masculine, so it's like to be Tvachim. Right? Shalosha, Shalosh. So Shalosha Tvachim by Shalosha Tvachim is the minimum shear that can get Tumas Medras. Now what's Tumas Medras? Okay, so... we have a Zav or a Zavo or a Nido or a Yeledes, they're an Avatumah. They can be metame adam and kalim and also ochlim and mashkim by touching it or by carrying them, right? An adam or a kli that becomes tame by a zava or a zava, they are a rishon l'tuma and then it can be metame ochlim and mashkim. Now, any kli that is roy to be sat upon, that can be sat upon, right? You can ride it or sit on it. If it's resting underneath a zav, even if it's 10 below, right? It's 10 things. Let's say you have 9 pieces of kliates, which are not makabel tumah, right? Yeah, I say, but wait, you have to have 9 pieces of eights, which is not makabel tumah. Underneath the night is a mattress, right? Underneath is a mattress, and he sits on top. Tumas medrash goes all the way down. But the minimum size for something to be makabel tumah as a medrash is 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim. So you have this thing, which is 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim, shenechlak. And it gets ripped, and it no longer has the appropriate shear. So tar min medras, the tumas medras that was on it, now just dissipates. I guess it goes away because it's no longer avatuma because it's not. It doesn't have the status anymore of being a kli, I guess. Aval tama maga medras, but it's still considered tame for being touched by a medras. Tosfos says it must be a case where originally you touched it, the zav touched it, and then. It went underneath and then got sat on it. So, because otherwise, if it's already tamei as the medras and has the avatuma, what's the maga?
Yeah.
The maga is going to make it into a rishon. Okay. So he says tamei maga medras. Divrei Rav Meir. Those are the words of Rav Meir. V'tanya, and the V'tanya is not there in the Mishnah, so I'm not sure we do. But it says V'tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, why would this thing have the tumah of a medrash? Ki be'ezen midrash nagazeh. And it was never touched. According to your mayor, if it's tamem medrash, it means it was underneath the pile. So how does it have tumas magas medrash? Ella, what must you say? She'im naga bozov yei tame maga zov. If a zov touched it, it becomes tame with the maga of the zov. Okay, so therefore what? How does this prove? I don't understand how this proves based on starim. According to, right, Rabbi Meir seems to be saying some here that he doesn't hold to this concept of tumas based on starim. He was saying, like you guys were saying, that even if it's hidden, it still transfers to tuma. But I'm not exactly sure how you see this from here. Right, Rashi says, Elohim Nagabazov Biraglo Arum Kishadar Salav Ola Acha Shadar Salav Bahavilov Base Tumas Tumas Majashi Avatum of Tumas Magashi Rishona Veena Elotam Okin Venechlach Tormi Tumas Majash Veenu Avatum Ode Avatami Magazav Kozeshalo Tufal. I don't understand, but if he touched it, you see it being touched.
No, isn't it talking about the case where it's hidden again? It's shoved underneath all the mattresses. You sat on top.
But then he never touched it.
You're touching the top mattress. That means it punches through everything.
Oh, so that's considered a touch. So even though you can't see
even
it touching,
you can't see it because it's gone. Uh-huh. It's not connected.
Uh-huh.
You still tame.
So therefore, the Rav Meir sees that tumas based on starim still is, so even if it's not connected, it becomes tame. And that's why our Mishnah would be going like Rav Meir, who would say that that's why the uber is tame, because even though you can't see the connection with the limb, it doesn't hold to the concept of tumas based on starim. Okay. So Gemara says no. Lav itmar la. Don't say it's only going according to Rav Meir, and don't say that case is a tumas based on starim. It's a lav itmar la. Amar ula. Ula says lo shanu. Right, Ula said that Mishnah that makes this machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Meir, Ella Shlosha al Shlosha Shenechalak. It's only if you have 3x3 tvachim. Aval Shalosh al Shalosh habos mibega gadol. But if you have, let's say you had a big piece of cloth, and off that big piece of cloth you rip off another cloth of 3x3 etzbos, or a smaller cloth, which is the smallest amount of an item that can be makabel tuma at all, because it can be used by an ani for a patch. So then, B'shas prishasar me'avihen, me'kavlos tumah me'avihen. Even though, so this big cloth is tummy, and then you cut off this little teeny thing, which should get its own entity, I guess. Nevertheless, it's me'kavlos tumah from the father, from the big cloth, because it was connected. This is exactly what you guys were saying. I was trying to hold off, but it's just because it was connected. So Hanami, so too in our Mishnah, Bishnas Parishasa Me'ever, Mekabel Tuma Me'ever. If the thing is connected, it's a big difference, exactly what Marcel and all you guys were saying, it's a big difference when it's connected. When it's connected, it's part and parcel of the same thing. So the case over there, where in this Mishnah in Kalim, we'll be talking about where it's not there's no machlokas of Tumas based Astarim or not. It's not a case of Tumas based Astarim, because it's talking about something that was connected to begin with. So to in our case, even if you hold the concept of tumas based astarim, this is not a tumas based astarim, as you guys pointed out, because there's a connection. Okay, Ravina Amar, Ravina says, gives a different answer. Ravina Amar, lav lichaticha kai. Sorry, beged lav lichaticha kai, ubar lichaticha kai. He says, no, the difference is, the reason why the beged, I guess there's a difference, the reason why the ubar transmits the tumah is because you're going to be chopping off, it's going to be cut off. It's destined to be cut off. Why? Because you want to eat the rest. So it's going to be chopped off. And kola ome lachtoch, and everything that is about to be cut off is viewed as if it's already cut off. And therefore, it's viewed as if it's cut off, and therefore the connection is not considered based on starim, it's considered revealed somehow, and therefore the bus and the aver touch each other are going to become...
Interesting, again, everything you said...
It's a different shita. This is a Ravina Amar.
Okay.
It's a different shita.
If they want to sell for Nandri, you don't have to cut off the leg. I assume you have to cut off the leg.
Rashi says... Doesn't say anything, right? It's Rashi views it as if it's cut off, and this thing that's cut is touching something that's not cut, and therefore, this thing that's cut away from each other is touching each other, and therefore it's tamei. Okay, kiman. So who does this go like? This also goes like Rav Meir. This goes like Rav Meir. That's not Rav Meir, says in Mishnah in Mikvos, kol yados hakelim shehein aruchos. You have these long handles on a kelim, right? The asu liktzatz tzatzan, and you're definitely going to cut them off. Matbil ad makam amida. You only make the whole kli tahor. You only have to put it in up to the point where you're going to keep the handle. He says, no, you have to touch, put that whole thing in. Rav Meir says, since this thing is going to be cut off to begin with, it's not considered part of the kli, and therefore, if you only did tefila up to that point, it becomes tamei. So he says, no, afilu rabban, tamei rabban. And you can see, even it goes according to the rabban in this Mishnah. Chiburei ochalin, keman devrifisi dami, unigiei bahadadi. No, the difference would be, is that when it comes to food, I guess, they're considered separate. But when it comes to kalim, I guess maybe it's a distinction between food and kalim. Okay.
Food is meant to be cut off.
Kalim not. Okay. I guess it's not considered to be a unit, the kli, the food is. So therefore, so you're viewing it as if it's cut, and therefore if it's cut, it's touching something that's cut, and it's not considered to be tumas beis hadar. Okay. So bishlam alu ula. Ula was the first answer. Right? Ula's answer was, where's Ula? Who's Ula? Bishlam alu ula, hainu, right? What's Ula?
Previous page.
Oh, where? Amaitumus beis hastarim? Oh, okay, so Ula, okay. So Amar Ula, okay, so Bishlam alu ula, hainu dikatani chatacha. That's why it says that you cut it, because he's talking about the case where it's viewed as if it's cut. El Ravina, who says that even when it's connected, right? Ravina says it doesn't have to be cut. It's just viewed as it's cut. Right. So why does the Mishnah say use the word cut? You don't even have to have the word cut there. So El Ravina, my chatacha. So the Ravina says, I didn't reish the chaska, the tani nami save the chatacha. Just because the reish says the word chatacha, the save says the word chatacha. Okay? We'll stop here.
All right.